Good morning. Why don't we turn in our journey devotionals to March 22nd? It's page 170. The passage is from Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. The title of the passage is "Well Done, My Good Servant." As they were listening to this, he went on to tell a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went to a distant country to get royal power for himself, and then return. He summoned 10 of his slaves, and gave them 10 pounds, and said to them, 'Do business with these until I come back.' But the citizens of his country hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, 'We do not want this man to rule over us.' When he returned, having received royal power, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money to be summoned so that he might find out what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, 'Lord, your pound has made 10 more pounds. He said to him, 'Well done, good slave. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small thing, take charge of 10 cities. Then the second came, saying, 'Lord, your pound has made 5 pounds. He said to him, "And you rule over 5 cities. Then the other came, saying, "Lord, here is your pound. I wrapped it up in a piece of cloth, for I was afraid of you, because you are a harsh man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow." He said to him, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked slave. You knew, did you, that I was a harsh man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow? Why, then, did you not put my money into the bank? Then, when I returned, I could have collected it with interest." He said to the bystanders, "Take the pound from him, and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And they said to him, "Lord, he has 10 pounds. I tell you, to all those who gave, to all those who have, more will be given, but from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and slaughter them in my presence." And if you'll turn to the devotion, the devotion is written by Syed Cameron Hashmi, who is the senior pastor of Love and Peace Baptist Chapel. All believers are commissioned to preach the gospel, to set up a church for Christ in the world, to bring the nations to the obedience of faith, and to build them up in it. You shall receive power to do this, for you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts 1:8. All Christians have business to do for Christ in this world. We are called to do business for Christ as he furnishes us with gifts necessary for his business. He gave us power, and he expects service. He delivers the pound with this charge: "Go work and go trade." We must continue to do our king's business till our king comes back, whatever difficulties or opposition we may meet within it. Only those that endure to the end shall be saved. Jesus has been exalted as king and will return in glory soon. We are his servants who have each received something to work with, to bring some return on investment. It's not too late to put all of our gifts and abilities to work for him. Not too late yet. So I just wanted to... before I shared some of the observations that I made about this passage, I just wanted to share my interpretation of this parable. The parable illustrates the ministry of Jesus and his second coming. Basically, the master leaves his servants, and he gives them money, and he says, "Put it to work," and then he goes off to become the king. And then while he's gone, the people, the citizens, reject him, and they say, "We don't want this guy to be our king." But he does return, eventually as the king. And then when he comes, there's judgment, which is, I feel like it reflects, what we have in this situation today. Jesus has obviously, got up to be with the Father, and he has left us, the believers, with what is called pounds here. And I believe that to represent the gospel. This is a bit different from there's a very similar parable, right, in Matthew that talks about the talents. And in that parable, each of the slaves gets a different amount. One gets 5 talents, one gets 3, and one gets 1. Here, you'll notice that everyone gets the same amount. Everyone gets the same 1 pound. And I feel like this represents, the gospel. We each receive the same truth, the same gospel. And, the call is for us to put it to work, right? We're to share that. And, effectively, this is the Great Commission. And meanwhile, the world, as we know it, is rejecting him. We are removing him from our schools, our classrooms, from society. We reject him as the one true king. But one day he will come, and he'll return, And when he comes, he will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you know, and when he comes, you know, he's going to drop the boom, and there's going to be judgment. So the passage itself, right, is obviously about stewardship. And there were three things that kind of just sort of struck out to me. The first is when in verse, there was no verse number. When the first servant comes up to the master, and he says, you know, master, your pound has made 10 more pounds. And then the same thing with the second guy, you know, your pound has made 5 more. And, this is the Great Commission. We're called to go out and evangelize and reach out. And oftentimes, you know, we make excuses. We say things like, you know, I'm not that smart, or I'm not that articulate, or, I don't speak that language, so I can't go out there, or whatever, right? Any kind of excuse that you can think of. But, you know, the passage is clear. It's not really about us, right? It's not us that brings about the returns, right? It's your pound. It's your gospel that will make 10 more. It's your truth that will bring about, you know, the lives that get transformed. And, you know, it's interesting to me that the gospel effectively will sell itself. All we have to do is just present it, right? It's nice to just package it nicely. That'd be great, right? It's all pretty with all the trimmings. But it's not, you know, that's just nice. But ultimately, the gospel in and of itself is precious. And all we have to do is just get it out there. And it'll sell itself. And, you know, that leads me to my second observation, which is, you know, once you accept that the gospel will sell itself, it would, you know, because it does sell itself, it would be a travesty to not present it. If you look at the interaction between the third servant and the master, you know, obviously he's like, oh, here's your pound. I didn't do anything with it. I just kind of wrapped it in a piece of cloth, and then I buried it. And the master rebukes him, understandably, and he says, you know, at least why don't you just put it in the bank then, right? And then it would have, you know, generated some interest. And this was interesting to me because I felt like this suggests that if you have the gospel, if you are a believer, at the very least, the bare minimum, you should be accruing interest. And, you know, I don't know what that looks like. You know, because we can't all be like Billy Graham and speak in stadiums and, you know, have like millions of people like convert and things like that. And maybe some of us will. But at the bare minimum, you should be having an impact. And maybe that means you are, you know, you show respect to the people that you work with, or you don't cuss at the workplace, or, you know, you're nice to the tea lady or the cab driver or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, as I read this, I felt like, you know, if we have the gospel, there should be an impact. And however minimal, you should be at the very minimum, and not that we should be striving for the bare minimum, but at the very least, you should be generating some interest and having some kind of return on the gospel that you have in you. And this third servant, obviously, you know, he received the pound. You know, he had the truth. He knew it, and he did nothing with it. And, you know, obviously, therefore, generating nothing. My third, you know, just broad observation was around this whole just the general interaction between the third servant and the master. And you know, to be honest, like I must have read this, you know, in my life, you know, like thousands of times. And every time I got to this, you know, it all kind of troubled me. I felt like, you know, the guy saying, you know, Lord, you're a harsh man. And I felt like, you know, he kind of was harsh, right? He called him a wicked slave. He took things away from him. He kind of kicked the man when he was down. And it seemed a little bit unfair as well, right? Like, he has, like, so little. And it's not like he wasted it, right? He didn't, like, go out and gamble it away and then, oh, he came back with, oh, Lord, I have nothing. You know, at least he kept it. So I felt like, huh, you know, it seems a little unfair that you would, you know, take it away and give it to the guy who has a lot anyway. And then recently, actually, I was just talking with my wife, and then I had this, it wasn't, you know, specifically about this passage, but, you know, is related to this, and I had this epiphany. And I don't have epiphanies very often, so this was very exciting at the time. And so, you know, my wife and I were discussing, you know, what we were going to do after we die. And, you know, we don't normally talk about death and stuff, but I don't know why we're talking about it. You know, and, like, specifically we're talking about, well, what are we going to do with our money and our possessions and things like that, right? Are we going to, I guess convention would say that we would leave it to our children. We have two kids. You know, that would be the, I guess, normal thing to do. But, you know, in this conversation, I was telling her, I was telling my wife, you know, I don't think I want to do this. I don't think I want to leave any money to Jeremy or Kayla. And that sounds really mean. But I was like, you know, I mean, obviously, we're going to support them, right? We support them now. We, you know, we feed them, we clothe them, we, you know, send them to school, make sure they're educated and things like that. We'll position them as best we can. But at some point, I felt like, you know, you draw the line, right? You draw the line, you say, you know, son, you know, daughter, now you're on your own. And you need to, you know, make something of yourself on your own. You can't just, you know, rely on mom and dad forever. And I felt like if we, you know, left stuff to our kids or they knew that something was coming, not that we have a lot of money or anything like that, right? It was just in principle. I just thought maybe they'll get spoiled or they'll feel like, you know, they have a sense of entitlement. I don't know, whatever. And so I was pretty adamant at the time. I was like, you know what? My Jeremy and Kayla, they're not getting a dime. We're going to give our money to the church or to charity or to, you know, to missionaries or whatever, right? Just something. And then my wife, who is much more compassionate than I am and sensible, too, in many ways, you know, she said, you know, that's a fair point. But, like, what if, you know, Jeremy and Kayla turn out to be, you know, good kids and then they grow up to be good adults, you know, smart and hardworking and, you know, what if they become good stewards? What if they prove themselves over the passage of time that they can handle this? And what if it turns out that these guys, our kids, would be able to do more with this money for the kingdom than some organization could or the church could or, you know, this missionary friend of yours could? You know, what if they would be able to take this money and the return that they would get would be even greater, far greater, than the church could generate or things like that, right? What if? Then what would you do? And then I was like, oh, you know, I mean, I'm like a numbers guy, right? I'm like, well, dude, if the return on the investment here is higher, then this is a no-brainer, obviously, then I'll give them everything. If that was true, I would give my kids everything that I had. In fact, I would borrow money, any money that I could. I would, like, max out my credit cards and, you know, strip out the equity in my house. The house that I don't have yet, but if I had a house, I would strip out all the equity, give it to my kids, everything that I had, and then I would go and die, right? That would be the plan. And then as I was talking about this passage came to my mind, and then I thought, wow, oh, you know, as I, you know, read this passage through that lens, it started to make sense, because this third servant was doing nothing, right? It's not that, yeah, he didn't waste it, but he was given this precious gift that he was, you know, it should be generating something, right? Even if it's just you put in a time deposit and get 0.1%, wow, but it's better than nothing. And this guy was getting nothing. You know, it's no wonder the master, the guy, took that away from him and said, you're not doing anything with this. I'm going to take it away from you, and I'm going to give it to the guy that'll generate more returns. And then, I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, you know, I wonder, you know, if God, you know, looks at us, looks at me, and, you know, he says, you know, hey, Jung, if you did more than just accrue interest, you know, maybe I would max out my credit lines for you. I would just pour out all my blessings and everything that I have. I would just pour it onto you. If only you would just, you know, I mean, I don't think I do nothing, but maybe I don't do a whole lot more than accrue interest. You know what I mean? So, yeah, those were my observations. Why don't we just go into time of worship?
wishes and dreams that are yet to come true. All of my hope, all of my plans, my heart and my hands, I'll lift it to you. For your glory, Lord, I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer you my Lord, I offer my life to you. Everything I've been through, use it for your glory, Lord. I offer my days to you, lifting my praise to you as a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I offer
Why don't we spend some time just in response to the passage in the devotional. Let's just pray for that we would be more like the first two servants and less like the third. And we have this precious gift, the message of truth that God has given to us that we know and we have the privilege of knowing, and that we'd have, that we'd have the courage to present it. It doesn't have to be fancy, right? It just has to be presented. So let's just pray for courage. Let's pray that we'd be obedient, and that we'd really be good stewards of what God's given to us. Let's also lift up Syed Cameron Hashmi, who wrote the devotional. He's a senior pastor of Love and Peace Baptist Chapel, and he's also the founder of Love and Peace Ministry, which is a ministry that reaches out to the Muslim communities of Hong Kong. So let's just lift him up, lift up his family, lift up his ministry, just to ask God that he would empower his ministry, empower him to be impactful, especially amongst the Muslim community. Let's go into a time of prayer for our community. Let's first pray for those who are sick with cancer. The names are up on the screen, so let's just lift each one of them up and intercede on their behalf. Let's cover those of us who are sick, but also who need to, receive the message, receive Christ. And let's just pray for opportunities, for the people around them to be able to present the gospel. Let's pray for those who have other infirmities and other sicknesses, and let's just cover them and ask for God's healing power to come upon them. Let's pray for those in our community who are looking for jobs. Let's just pray for God to just release the perfect jobs for each and every one of them. Let's move on to the daily prayer focus. Let's pray for the local ministries, local churches, for YWAM, their sports server, Shanty, Masters Beauty, the Red Light District Outreach, Face to Face, Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity Worldwide. Let's just pray for each and every one of these organizations and churches, God, and that God would just do incredible things through them. Pray for our missions committee. Let's pray for Pastor Eugene, Jamie Donaldson, John Kang, Sarah Ho, Chizon Kim, and Kiwan Chung. Let's just ask for wisdom for them, and let's just ask people to rise up, you know, that they would say, you know, send me, and I'll go. Let's just cover our missions committee at this time. Let's cover our local outreach ministry, the community center, Igape, our homeless ministry, the Red Light District ministry, and let's just ask for God to really, you know, empower them, you know, to be the hands and the feet. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's just pray for every aspect of this place. And, you know, whether you grew up here, you know, were born here, or whether you're just here for work or whatever, you know, it might be. Like, for this season, you know, this is where God has placed us, and this is, you know, where we are to call our home, at least for now. So let's just cover this place. Let's ask God for His blessing, for a revival to take place in this city. Let's just cover Hong Kong. And let's finally pray for McCain House Church. We'll be meeting later tonight. Let's pray for Jimmy and KJ. Let's just pray that it'll be a fruitful time. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this day. And we thank you for the pounds that you have given to us, the gospel message and the truth that we have. And I pray that it wouldn't be for nothing that we have this, God, that it would matter, that we would do something with this, and it would generate returns. And help us to be courageous and bold, because you know the message itself is really, you know, it's the jewel, and it's that's the gift, and all we have to do is just present it, Lord. So I pray that you would give us the courage to do so, give us the opportunities, God. Would you open up doors, and allow us, you know, in our homes, in our families, in our workplaces, to be able to present this precious gift to those around us, Lord. So God, we do pray for this, God. We just thank you. We thank you for the blessings that you pour out into our lives and into this church. God, we love you so much. Just bless this day, God. In Jesus' name we pray.